All right, we're still waiting for a few members. I think most of us are here though, so we will get going. We have a number of amendments which I'll talk about as we start getting into them. Some of them, let me get the bill in the order. We need it first so we can all work together. And again, by the way, we're here till 12:30 when we all have session, and if need be, we'll have a room after session, probably 500 south, to reconvene if we have to for testimony or amendments or whatever we're doing. So, first things first, House File 1122 is before the committee, and the 1122 DE1 you have in your folders, that's the amendment we talked about yesterday. That'll get the bill in the shape we can all work from, and that the amendments are all drafted to. So, any discussion on the DE1? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? That's adopted. All right, now, first of all, I'm going to go to Jim Cleary, who's got an oral amendment to describe to us.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is on page 56, and it's just intended to name all of the veteran service organizations that you would like to fund.
Okay.
I recently found out there are a couple of others. So on page 56, line 24, the amendment would delete and before the period, insert, comma, AMVET and Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Okay. So he's just adding two groups in there, and he's got the language which he'll provide to the committee legislative assistant. So should not be a problem. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? That amendment's adopted. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. I'll offer unless this is someone specific, the A3 amendment is clarifying the rural finance authority on the bonding. It's an article added in there, I believe. Isn't that right, Mr. Sullivan?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair and members, this was recommended by House Fiscal to put the RFA language in its own article.
Okay. So we're going to separate that into its own article is all it does, the A3 amendment, the rural finance, $35 million. Everyone find that? Some of these are, we got a bunch that are being handed out and some that were in your packets. Again, it doesn't change anything in the bill. It's basically technical, setting up an article for rural finance. Any discussion? Representative Magnus, you all right with that? All right. All those to the A3 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted. All right. Let's see here. Yeah. All right, I'll offer, let's see, what's this one? Who's got the A8 amendment? That's Board of Animal Health. $100,000 appropriation. Is that technical, Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, the A8 is also technical to have an immediate effective date. We just need to move that section to an uncodified section.
Okay. So again, technical. Representative Magnus?
Fine with it, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering how many producers does this affect? Would be it.
I think the testimony we had was one, I believe, that went to market with his cows and found out he had it once he got to market, and so it was a kind of a fluke thing. So
we're fine.
All right. All those in favor of the A8 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now it's adopted. I'm going to add the A7 amendment. Members, this one came from Representative Tao has a bill in, and Representative Mao over in the Senate, same bill. We had some hail damage, severe hail damage to our small organic and truck farmers that sell at the farmers market. and in St. Paul. And what they're asking for is basically some disaster relief for them within that sustainable organic section of the bill. And it's $25,000, one-time money only, which I basically take off the bottom line. We had, if you look, we had $113,000 that we can use and still use today, members, on the bottom line on the front page of your spreadsheet. That 113 is money that's still available. So we're just going to take 25,000 of that and put it into this fund that they can apply for. They have to prove that they had damages, and they can get their membership fees for the farmers market. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Reimburse up to $1,000 of fees. I need a little more explanation on that. So we're not really reimbursing the crop damages. We're reimbursing the fees.
The explanation from Representative Powell was they have the damage. There's obviously no federal farm money for these types of crops. And they're spending most of their money just trying to get their crops in this year. And they need some assistance like we've given to other organic folks in the past on their licensing, and in this case, licensing at the farmer's market where they sell. That's the explanation that was given to me by Representative Powell. Discussion? Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're... I don't know if I am in favor of this or not, but it kind of discriminates in terms of members of the St. Paul Growers Association and excludes any other growers association. I have concerns about this amendment.
Should we add the Minneapolis Farmers Market to it, too? I mean, that's where most, I would guess, the majority of these folks go is the Minneapolis and St. Paul markets. But or we could just say membership fees, farm market membership fees. If you can prove damage, and frankly, it'd be statewide.
But we're limited to $25,000.
Right. Up to $25,000, I assume, first come, first serve. And it also says up to $1,000. So yeah. I assume the department, based on their applications, could limit that award equally across.
So it would be equal treatment, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
So let's say, I'll have staff work on that, Mr. Sullivan. If you can make sure that $25,000 is for membership fees for any farm market association in the state, farmers market, if they can prove damage. And you might want to remove the July 10th, too. That's a specific event. And we could leave it hail, but resulting from hail during the year 2008. That way, anyone who had hail damage in 2008 in their farm market coming this year, then they can apply, prove they have the damage, and then apply for that money for their fees. Okay? Do you have it? All right.
Mr. Chair and members, on the A7 amendment, on line 1.5, delete the St. Paul Growers Association and insert members of a farmers market association. On line 1.7, delete everything after members. On line 1.8, delete everything before who. And on 1.10, delete on and insert in, and delete it up July 10th. So the amendment would read $25,000 in the first year is for a grant to members of a farm market association to reimburse up to $1,000 of membership fees for members who incurred crop damages as a result of the hailstorm in... delete that area on 1.110, and then it would read, as a result of the hailstorm in 2008.
Okay. Good idea, Representative Szymanski. I'll incorporate that into my amendment, that language you just heard. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And by the way, Szymanski, you have to explain that to Cy Powell, too. Get on the House floor today. Yeah, I got them all here. Members, we have a bunch of amendments, and I know that a lot of them came from the other side of the aisle, and that's great. One of the things I've noticed is that there's a number of a technical amendments that apparently came from the department that I have not seen yet. And while you're free to offer them, I guess I'd ask you to consider, and the department to consider, putting them all together in one amendment that we can do in finance, rather than talk about them all and discuss them now, and then I can look at them, rather than just seeing them for the first time. We can do one clean amendment in finance that'll be technical. To change, most of them are changing dates that reports are due, elimination of per diems, and there's all sorts of technical stuff. And I guess I'd ask the department if they could work with myself and Magnus and Hamilton to put them all together in one, rather than doing six or seven amendments here on that. So they're shaking their head yes over there, Representative Hamilton, if that's okay with you. I think it'd be a much cleaner way, and then we can make sure we got everything. We got another week then to scour this thing for other technical stuff, and I'm happy to do all of those. So as we get to them, we'll either discard them or you can offer them and we'll discard them that way or whatever you want to do. Representative Welty, A2 amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, the A2 amendment simply requires the Department of Agriculture contact other units of government and other entities that accept dollars to advertise office space. As you know, many of you have taken the tour of the Department of Agriculture, and when I brought this up for discussion, I saw many heads shaking in agreement that we see a lot of unused office space. And so what this does is require them to essentially advertise that they have office space, and hopefully they can find some additional tenants to defray some of their costs. And I'll leave it at that. Members, I appreciate your support.
Discussion, advertising to utilize that space. Bring in some money so we don't have to make so many cuts. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Representative Welty. I have a technical amendment. There's an amendment later to to remove this section, but before you move to remove it, I'm going to offer an oral amendment. Page 53, line 53.15, after the word organic. This is that Karen Clark study bill. After the word organic, insert including organic value-added processing. She just wanted, that's what she meant. She wanted to make sure that that was clear, and that's just from, I think, a technical amendment, discretionary, and we'll deal with the amendment removing these sections later, but if you'd allow me just to add that technical amendment, I'd appreciate it, members. After the word organic, put page 53.15. After the word organics, put including organic value-added processing. We assume organics meant the whole sphere of raising and processing and delivering of organics, but she wanted to make sure that was an important piece of it, and I said that's fine. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment, oral amendment is adopted. You've got that, Mr. Cleary? Or Mr. Cleary, Mr. Sullivan? All right. What do you want to do next here, Mr. Let's see. We've got, it looks like, some waste pesticide stuff, but I think it's been agreed on. The A35 amendment that was in your file. And Mr. Sullivan, if you can explain that, why we dig for it.
Mr. Chair and members, the A35 amendment, line 1.3 is just technical. The word annually should appear back in there to make clear that the report is due each year on, I believe, January 31st. Line 1.4 begins a provision that would require the Department of Agriculture, who I believe is common practice, they hire a private contractor to dispose of the waste pesticide properly. The department would be required to require that private contractor to record and submit the information that's required now under statute about the type and quantity of product collected. And on 1.8 begins a new provision that would attempt to clarify the liability for waste pesticide products if the commissioners should contract with a local unit of government to collect the pesticide.
Okay, and this is language, members, that folks have been working on from all the groups, and they're all
I think, in agreement. If they're not, obviously, if anyone wants to testify on this amendment. And by the way, on any of these amendments, if folks want to testify, you just have to come up here and get my attention. I'm not gonna try and see everyone, but please come to the front if there's any amendments you'd like to weigh in on. We certainly will take public testimony. Mr. Bezicki.
Mr. Chair, Greg Bezicki with the Department of Agriculture. Mr. Chair, for some things, we think this language may work. It certainly does work for the egg portion. Mr. Chair, members, if we could have a little bit more time to talk with the county folks, we understand the committee's desire to have records. The way this is phrased, however, it may require the private contractor to actually unpack waste pesticides that have been collected over a period of time at some of the facilities. It's not ordinarily done.
So are you saying you want more time now, over the next hour and a half, to talk to them, or are you talking about you want more time till the next committee meeting?
Mr. Chair, we can talk now and see if we can come up with something.
I mean, I know we've worked on this a long time. If we put this on, and then once it's on, it's easier to make changes as I move forward, too, in that technical bill I just talked about.
Well, Mr. Chair, if you'd like to do that, and we'll continue working with the county.
As long as that's okay with you, at least to keep us moving forward on this. All right? Department says that might work. Any discussion to that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Mr. Bezicki and committee. I've got another, let's do, as long as we're doing that, we got noxious weed amendment, A5. A5, and I'll offer that. I offered the last one, too, by the way. Mr. Sullivan. And again, you don't have to go into great detail. I think a lot of this is technical. If there's anything substantive in here, let me know. And again, members, the noxious weed group, townships, counties, and the task force folks have been working diligently over the last few days again, and I think this is the amendment that satisfies all those groups. If you can confirm, you've been working with them, Mr. Sullivan. You don't have to confirm they're satisfied, but that is the...
Mr. Chair, members, yes, that is my understanding. And the A5 in general attempts to define the responsibility to the county level, whether the county actually has an agricultural inspector or whether they choose, which they now have the option of having a designated employee with slightly different responsibilities. On page 3, line 32, the advisory committee is essentially the same. This is the Senate's language that's formatted in a proper way. Otherwise, I believe it's the same.
Okay. So the gist of this is a county can either appoint a non-ag inspector to be the overseer, or they can still appoint a county ag inspector. If you're appointed a county ag inspector, that carries more responsibilities and duties, including training and other things that you need. And so this specifies they can do either one, but that those duties carry different responsibilities. I think it's a good explanation in there. And if they appoint someone other than a county weed inspector, then they work in cooperation with the department as the enforcement level on noxious weeds, which again I think works very well with for the counties and townships and everyone else. So technical, the noxious weeds, any questions? Seeing none. You got a wave.
Good.
All right. Ms. Feeney.
Mr. Chair, Representative, my understanding is that the group of townships and counties and the department have been working on this language, and we are comfortable with the language except for one issue on line 1.19. We had all agreed to may instead of must. So upon request, the commissioner may provide the information as opposed to must provide the information.
All right. I'll change the must to may, incorporate that into my amendment on line 1.19. If that blows this whole thing up, then I'm changing it back to the next committee. So, any discussion of that? Representative Falk.
Why wouldn't the commissioner want to provide that?
What's the reason for the may, Ms. Cheney?
Honestly, I was not part of the negotiations, and my understanding is it just makes the commissioner's office feel a little bit more comfortable. And the groups were fine with having the may in there.
Well, we'll leave it in there for now, and you know, if that's a problem with any of the groups, they'll see me before the next stop here, and we'll change it back. But yes, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Cheney. For the Maid of the Must, if that is a must, will the department have to add additional staff in order to carry that out?
Yes, and Mr. Cheney. Chair, Representative, the amendment does, the noxious weed language is all an unfunded mandate. The fiscal note on it was about a 0.5 FTE. We said we could absorb some of that, but not all of it. This does make it just a little bit easier for our staff.
Thank you.
All right, we'll leave it that. We'll leave the must to May for now. We'll see what happens. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment's adopted. The A33, someone's got a horse amendment. Is that Hamilton?
Oh, you know what, Mr. Chair, this
giddy
is
up.
My amendment. Giddy,
giddy
up,
up,
giddy up. This was the
A33.
The original.
Hamilton offers the A33.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was the original language that was inserted in the Emmer amendment, and it was taken out in policy, and I would like to put that back in there. Just to clarify, as far as that horses may once again be used for meat hides and animal byproducts, just to clarify the definition. Make sure that it does remain as livestock as well.
And that was part of the original bill. I don't know what the discussion was in policy. Can you tell me why it was taken out?
Mr. Chair, I believe it was a feel-good measure, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
There were some other people in the policy committee as well. But again, it was centers around the entire debate of horses classified as livestock and being able to utilize the byproducts. It says nothing to do with slaughter of or
right.
change the language
right.
or anything like that. It's just to clarify that horses may be used for meat, hides, and animal byproducts.
Mainly this is defining stuff so we can utilize green acres out in Emmers County and other counties where they have horse operations that are used for various things. Mr. Sullivan, I know you worked on language for this. Did you... This language and others, did that come out of other places in statutes or federal definitions, or how did we get to the definition of what horses are? You have no idea? All right, giddy up. But any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the Hamilton Amendment, 833, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment's adopted. What else you got here? These are all technical amendments. I am. I'm going to ask the, and again, A19, A15, A23, and A27, I'm going to start a pile here of technical amendments. I'm going to put them aside for now, but I think we can put those together in a single bill and not have to go through them at this point.
Excuse me, Mr.
Yeah.
What were the numbers?
A, and I'll repeat them before we're done today, too, but right now I have A23, A27, A15 and A19.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, what do you want to do now? Just start any of them? They're all the same now?
Mr. Chairman, Hamilton.
If you want to offer one, feel free to, otherwise, I'll start picking them.
Mr. Chairman, I'd offer up the A9 amendment.
A9. In order upside down. Too many amendments. A9. Someone plant there. All right, Representative Hamilton offers the A9 amendment. To your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. We have a very, very difficult job ahead of us. There's no question about it. You take a look at the budget deficit and the goals set by Ways and Means Committee as far as what our budgets can be or should be. The A9 amendment is taking a look, is addressing the shortcoming that we have in the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We heard testimony on, we heard testimony from the veterans' homes as far as the services and what they needed for pharmacy, food, fuel and utilities, and salary in order to meet the needs of our veterans in those homes. It was outlined, the testimony was outlined on page 7 of in our budget book, and it gave the background again that not unlike other long-term care facilities in Minnesota, the operating cost for providing nursing care has continued to increase from one year to the next. Expenses such as, and it lays out fuel, utilities, pharmaceuticals, and food. What the A9 amendment does is to address the expense around pharmaceuticals and food to make sure that the department is able to continue to provide the necessary services. And like I said, it's extremely difficult as we make these decisions and we're having to choose. The money that would provide for our veterans would actually have to come from, and this amendment is coming from AURI. And as difficult as that is, it is extremely, extremely difficult because when the budgets came out with the major reductions, more so than what was originally provided by the governor, recommended by the governor, we've had to make some extremely, extremely difficult decisions. And so again, this is an amendment that would address the needs of our veterans. I would like to ask someone from the department, if I could, the deputy commissioner, to come down and speak on this behalf as well. And Mr. Chairman, as tough as this is, I would ask for a roll call as well.
Okay, we got the deputy commissioner coming down again. I guess Representative Hamilton, my comments before he starts is a couple things. Number one, I've never seen a breakdown. Again, Mr. Reinholz, what's the line on the budget item that we were working off of that they submitted to the committee?
Mr. Chairman, in the spreadsheet, it would be line number 287, I believe. The governor asked, and the department asked for $1.8 million in 2010, $3.4 million in 2011. And Mr. Chair, change item request indicated that those items were 100% directed towards full-time salaries.
So maybe you can start clearing that up to us. And again, if there's items that are not salary, which were not reported to this committee on the line item, then we certainly want to know that and work with you on that. Representative Hamilton, I'm reluctant. In fact, I won't probably support taking it from AURI. I think there's other areas in the budget. A tough decision, but I'd probably take it from ethanol producer payments because, again, they're guaranteed to get that money. There's no guarantee to get AURI the money in the future. So I'm willing to work with you on that, but I'm real curious now to hear from the department, who has not in the past indicated anything but salary supplements on that line item.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Gilbert Acevedo, Deputy Commissioner for Veterans Health Care. For the packet that was provided to the committee on follow-up questions, on item number four, they clearly state pharmacy, food, fuel, and salaries, and there is a breakdown on per item there.
Do you have it broken down by home, too, so we can see that?
We don't have it.
I mean, not today, but
we certainly can get it.
Oh, yeah, and I'm being sincere, Representative Hamilton. We've never seen anything with salaries till, I guess, yesterday, and I did not read that memo that you provided. I'm not sure if any of the committee read it other than Hamilton here, but and good for you. But we're willing to work with you on that, and we don't want to cut anything, that is serving our veterans or increased costs for fuel, transportation, other things at our homes. That's not the intent here, and clearly never has been. So, Representative Hamilton, you can turn this into a political vote if you want with a roll call, but I guess I'd prefer to continue working even after session if we have to come back and take it from somewhere else but AURI. But if you want to proceed on that, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman, on the breakout, to address what was said in the testimony and also what staff helped us out as well, we are excluding the piece for salaries. We understand what the debate is. Again, this is to address the pharmacy side, the food side, and between those $2, the total amount is $1,185,000. And, say what you want, I guess, about a political football. It's extremely difficult. There's no question about it. When it comes to addressing the vets, and to the representatives here from AURI, again, trying to find where the money should come from. You take a look, go all the way back to 2003, and you take a look at the fight that we had for the ethanol payments, Mr. Chair, and wanting to preserve those. And then the governor did come out not wanting to touch those here this go around. You take a look at the need for our veterans as well, and the proposals are not wanting to take funding away from them. And then so going through the budget, because of course we can't go anywhere else to find the money, we have to stay within the bill. I went back and found testimony from members from AURA that was saying that they were going to make, at that point in time, referring to the $2 million in a specific amendment, to make that work. And it was also directed to them to become viable, efficient organization, and also focus on fundraising. So again, we come down to taking a look at where we go for the funding and who are we going to serve. It's not easy, but I think it's important.
Okay. Other discussion? Representative Hosh.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hamilton, when looking at the spreadsheet and everything, I mean, when I was looking at this line item, I think it was some of the assumptions for the committee members that this was a salary supplement, and that it was inconsistent with some of the other things we were doing, like general nursing homes throughout Minnesota. And I definitely agree with you that to maintain certain levels, especially within prescriptions or formularies like that, is important. And I also heard Representative Junkie say that he would rather see the money come from somewhere else if we want to maintain these services. So I would like to have the time to work on that. Is that something you'd consider?
Mr. Chairman, again, when it comes down to this, our hands are pretty much tied as far as where we go and find those funds. Obviously, we got to take a look at it right here and make those determinations here. I think we definitely need to keep on with the conversations as well. But again, it comes back to addressing the needs. And you're absolutely right as far as some of the assumptions when it came down to what the needs were. And I remember our chairman yesterday saying that it went to salary and gave a great explanation. And I, like many of you, stayed up late last night and was up again at 4 o'clock this morning reading through this and asking for additional feedback and help with this. Again, it comes down to prioritizing. And so I think this is important.
Representative Hosh.
Mr. Chair, I mean, I'm listening to your comments and also the importance of this and the fact that this is the most bipartisan committee in the House of Representatives. I would like to move to table this at the moment so we can try to find an area that has bipartisan support for taking the money from and making sure that we allow the veterans homes to maintain current services.
Okay. Representative Hosh moves to table at the non-debatable motion. Non-debatable motion for now. All those in favor say aye.
We roll call up.
Roll call's been requested.
Representative Junkie?
Aye.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Doty?
Aye.
Representative Eakin?
Aye.
Representative Polk?
Aye.
Representative Faust?
Aye.
Representative Hamilton?
No.
Representative Hosh?
Aye.
Representative Magnus?
No.
Representative Otremba?
Yes.
Representative Shemansky?
No.
Representative Torgelson?
No.
Representative Welty?
Yes.
All right, 11 ayes, 5 nays. It's tabled. Now I can talk since it's tabled. I do intend to bring this back up, Representative Hamilton, by after session, now or tonight, whenever we have to meet,
and I'm happy to continue the discussions. Again, I'd encourage and insist that the department continue to work with us. Again, it's the first time I've seen this amendment and or even had this discussion, and I'm happy to work with you to find the money, but we shouldn't be doing it on the fly here without some input, at least from the chair, and I know you've had input apparently with the vice chair, who didn't talk to me about it either. I assume you've talked to the lead Republican, but it'd be nice to get this into the chair's office and work on it. So it's fully my intent, members, that we'll work on this, and after session in 500 South or tonight at whatever hour, that we can find the money and figure this out. We're happy to do it. As long as, and we'll work with our fiscal staff on it too, who needs time now to go through our budgets and see where we might have some nooks and crannies available. So with that, the Hamilton A9 is tabled for now, and will be revisited. And if we can get it off the table, and I'll move to do that at some point.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, there are things in this bill that we didn't see until tomorrow, or
sure,
until yesterday, and we had less than a day to review those. And there's also items in here that once we received the bill, we went back through the budget books, myself included, to take a look at this. This is not a personal shot to anybody. It's about focusing on what we're playing with cards that are dealt with us, unfortunately. So, again, it's about prioritizing. Mr. Chair, I just want to make it clear, it's not a personal shot to yourself or anybody else. We have very admirable people sitting around this committee, people that have served our country, people whose children are serving our country. And again, it's we're faced with the tough decisions trying to prioritize this this budget, and I'm just going to sum it up. To take this personally is or should not happen.
Well, Representative Hamilton, I'm not taking it personally. I'm saying if your amendment goes down, which it may, then we're left with no amendments and we're not addressing it. And I want to address it. So, you know, perhaps the money will come from AURI. I guess, in my opinion, I don't think it all should come from there. We should share the pain then. If we're going to share pain, we'll share pain. And, you know, we've got a lot of budgets across every budget, AURI. We didn't cut as much to Board of Animal Health as the governor did, so we probably got some room there. Certainly, Department of Agriculture took one cut of $100,000 to their administration. So I suspect we got some money there. You know, and I think there's some other pots. The GI Bill, we're only utilizing half. You know, I know Magnus has amendments for that later, but we're only utilizing half. So I do think if we would have had some discussion, we might have been able to realize those dollars in a more cooperative, across-the-board way, and that's all I'm saying. You know, we can vote the amendments down, and simply we'll come back later and resurrect them as something else, or as Representative Hodge moved, we can table them for now and come back in that manner, too. It's just a way of coming back. I'm not taking anything personally. I just, it'd be nice to have some conversation. You know, and again, I've set this committee up with no rules, and that's a good thing, but I've also encouraged folks to come talk to me because of that and get amendments in as early as you can, and I realize the time was short, so that's my fault, but we'll go this afternoon, we'll go tonight. If we don't get the bill out, I have no problem. We'll come back after Easter and do it. So we'll take as much time as we want on the bill. I'm not sending something out here that we can't for the most part agree on. And I'll take whatever time we need on it. So we've got till the 15th or 16th or whatever it is for our deadline, and we're early. This is Mr. Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just a point to this, one of the points to this issue about the veterans' home, and that's something that Representative Hamilton and I were talking about last night as we were trying to figure out what to do for amendments and what to do with the bill. It's a concern of ours, and I know, Mr. Chairman, in talking to you, it's a great concern to you, and I know, Mr. Chairman, talking to Chairman Vickerman in the Senate, this whole issue of the veterans' homes is a big concern. Because in the Senate, that budget is not under the Ag and Veterans purview.
Get over there.
It's under the Health and Human Services purview. And so that's the reason Representative Hamilton and I got together and put this amendment in. Sure. Not to stick anybody, Mr. Chairman, but to make sure that our committee has something in there for this, because I don't want to sit in front of have no one sit in front of the Health and Human Services Committee in the Senate and not have anything in a bill. Not have anything so when we found out this money was sitting here for quality of life issues to our veterans in the homes, pharmaceutical care, and food, we didn't even put utilities in. It was vitally important to us. And I know it is to you, Mr. Chairman. You and I have talked about it many times. And certainly, Senator Vickerman and I spent a lot of time talking about it last week when we visited our troops. So it's vitally important. I know Representative Hodge felt strongly in tabling it, but I'd suggest you get it off the table pretty quick to make sure we've got something in the bill, because I don't know if you realize that, Representative, when you made the motion, that is basically having us empty then going to the Senate.
Well, again, we'll address this. I have no problem addressing it. We just need a little more time on it. I think it was good to table it, so we got all the options in front of us at this point. All right. You want me to pick, or someone else?
A-10.
A-10. There. Is that it? Representative Hamilton Magnus moves the A-10.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm moving to delete some funding again from AURI. Again, Representative Hamilton said that's a tough decision to make. I've been a long-time supporter of AURI in my long history of involvement in agriculture issues and leadership positions, and worked closely with AURI for many, many years, and certainly support them. But the choice comes to where we're going to cut to make some money, because I do think that the MECV program and Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans is a vital program. You know, none of us knew the economy was going to get this bad. And none of us knew just what was going to happen here. And I'm going to quote from the sheet here. I'd like to have Ms. Vitalis come up and testify if she wishes, but a quote from the handout that she sent us. Last year they served 870 veterans representing 62 counties, a 58% increase from 2007. With over 10,000 contacts throughout the year. Mr. Chairman, we're sending our troops over now. We just deployed the ones from the Twin Cities area, based out recently. Saturday, Marshall deployed theirs. Montevideo deployed theirs. They're going to be coming back in the next year, we hope. Hope all of them come back and in sound shape. But I just thought we needed to add additional funding to the MACV program. I don't want to see us sit here asking our troops to go defend us and get into problems. And, you know, their main concern is their families also. Because I will point out, Mr. Chairman, that the troops that were out there visiting last week in Fort Lewis, the average age is 39 years old. And a much more diverse population of our National Guard troops, 40% of them are female. And their concern was, what about my family when I'm gone? And I promised them I'd do what I could. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm bringing up this amendment. I hope you support it.
And this is in addition to their base funding. This is an addition.
It's an addition. We can have Ms. Vitalis testify. Before she testifies, Mr. Chairman, I'll ask for a roll call vote.
Okay, Ms. Vitalis.
Thank you, Chairman Duncan. Kathleen Vitalis, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. And as I've testified twice before you, I'll just give a quick summary. Our base appropriation, $250,000, this amendment would be in addition to that. However, in the last 2 years, we've been at total funding of $1 million. And to go from $1 million to $250,000 is, in a word, devastating to our programs and to the outreach and to the homeless veterans and those in crisis that we've been able to serve. And in not only was it a 58% increase from 2007 to 2008, in January of this year, it was a 30% increase over January of 2008. So the numbers continue to increase. And I ask that you support this amendment that would give us these funds to try to maintain the level of service at a time when our numbers are continuing to increase. Again, this would be devastating for us at this time to go down this far when the numbers are not going down and they continue to deploy and they continue to come home. And if you have any specific questions, I would be happy to answer them.
Well, thank you for that. We certainly realize that last year we did have some money and did put in one-time funding. You're right. It didn't get into the base, though, for the reason that we don't know where we're at year for year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm certainly supportive of the program. I'm not supportive of taking it all from AURI. I don't know why AURI is a target on this committee today, but I'm happy again. We can vote this up or down right now. I won't support it because it comes from AURI, but I will tell you, I will go and look the rest of the day with my fiscal staff and see if we can find some money or share the pain if that's what we want to do, but I will not take it out of it. My one vote will not take it out of AURI 100%. So I think that's a mistake. And that's our value-added people that work on biofuels and value-added agriculture. You know, certainly they should take a cut like everyone else, too. Again, to take everything out of the hide of AURI, I guess I'm I wouldn't be in favor of that. But I'll look for money this afternoon and tonight or next week or whenever we're done here and see what we can come up with. I'll check with the Senate, see what they're doing and where they're finding money, and we'll see what we can do working with our fiscal staff and others. Any questions or discussions, members? Clerk will take the roll.
Junkie?
No.
Anderson?
Yes.
Brown?
No.
Doty?
No.
Deacon?
No.
Falk?
No.
Spouse?
No.
Hamilton?
Yes.
Hosh?
No.
Magnus?
Yes.
Petremba?
No.
Szymanski?
Yep.
Torkelson?
Yes.
Welty?
No.
Five ayes and 11 nays. That was 9-5. 9-5, the amendment does not prevail. Any others, or should I start picking?
Mr. Chairman, I'll offer the A11 amendment.
A11.
As long as we're picking on AURI.
Keep picking.
We know how this goes, Mr. Chairman. I know 3 years ago, in 2003, we were in the same tough spot, Mr. Chairman. And we had to try to find money to fund things, and that was my first term, and we sat here, and you know, AURI was going to be moved under the Department of Ag, and they were under assault too, because we were at that time in a tough spot, and I know some folks that are serving on the committee said to go to the commodity groups and get funding and get creative, and you know, those statements were made, and I know also that we were looking at ethanol payments problems. At that time, the governor had initially cut all of the ethanol payments. But our efforts here, and you, Mr. Chairman, were part of that, extended the payments out, and it created a deficiency program to get those. And you know, so those payments have been backed up once already. So I was hesitant to go to the ethanol payments, especially with the governor's proposal that doesn't cut them at all. And again, I don't know, none of us knows what the Senate's going to do. I understand they're going to hear their bill this afternoon. But again, looking at some of the information we got yesterday, I talked to the department also, Veterans Affairs, or Military Affairs, and we talked about jobs the other day, and you know, I think the cut that the bill has for IT is too severe. The government's proposal was $1.95 million, I believe, over 2 years. Recognizing that the department has taken over administration of the veterans' homes, and it does turn out in talking to them that there is significant jobs in there under the $1.9 million. But I know we've got tough times, and I know I talked to you about it, Mr. Chairman, early on as we were discussing this when Representative Hamilton and I and others came to your office, and I suggested to you a cut down to $1 million, and so that's what my amendment here basically does. It cuts the IT program somewhat, but it leaves, I think, $1 million in the program over the two-year period.
Can you identify yourself, and then I guess what I'd like from you is, do you have a breakdown of these IT budgets? I'll admit, I'm picking a number, and Magnus is picking a number, pretty round numbers, 300, 500. Do we have more specifics on that you can provide to the committee? Usually we're not that rounded off, we are, and that's our mistake, but it seems like we're grasping at straws. Can you help us out with that?
Certainly. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Mike Puglisi, Deputy Commissioner for Programs and Services for the Department of Veterans Affairs. There is a breakdown in our budget pages, and I'd just like to point out that the IT funding that we need goes much deeper and broader than just assisting the department with a successful merge with the Veterans Homes, which we took over about a year ago. We, as you all know, we safeguard a lot of private data, medical records, discharge certificates, and unfortunately, on the home side, there was quite a lack of an IT infrastructure, security measures put in place. There are a lot of things we weren't aware of that we were going to be taking over. Now we are aware of those things, and we need to do everything we can to successfully merge, to make sure that we can all communicate. That's one of the things we're trying to do. And also to safeguard all this private data that we have. There's a lot of security measures that need to go in place. You know, just throw out there, I might be a little off with my numbers, but we have about 34 off-site locations which require IT service and staff. Five of those are veterans' homes, one is central office, a veterans' cemetery, two regional offices where we have a lot of claim staff. And we only have six IT staff currently to maintain all of this. Very, very underfunded, very, very understaffed if we're going to succeed with this successful merger and also safeguarding this private data.
Now, Mr. Puglisi, this was this was a supplement asked for by you. You're currently in the base, you support six IT staff, so $500,000, is that all for staff? Is that for contracts? Is that for software? Do you have a breakdown on what that's for?
Mr. Chair and members, as I said earlier, there is a breakdown in our budget pages, but based on the $500,000, I would ask that we have the opportunity, if that's the figure we're going to use, to break down how we would utilize that. There is a mixture, some of it would certainly be for staff. We definitely need an IT.
My concern is mainly that you mentioned the security issues. I get that with medical records. We understand that. If that was lacking at the homes, particularly Minneapolis, where I know we've had a lot of problems, we certainly want to address that. Is that... will that cover, will $500,000 cover that amount to get that security issue taken care of? I think that's the most pressing issue as far as I'm concerned.
Mr. Chair and members, you are correct. And $500,000 a year would get us much further along than $300,000 would. It would allow us to do some of the additional things. Some of the other homes are in the same circumstance where we need to upgrade the measures to protect the security.
Mr. Reinholz and Mr. Cleary, would you figure out an amendment for me to not take this from AURI, but to take it from the GI Bill fund where we have an extra $1 million a year? I think this is a pressing need, and we've got extra dollars there, and I think we should address it, so I'm going to do an oral amendment whenever you can figure that out for me. Representative Magnus.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Puglisi brings up the security issues, and that's one of the reasons why just triggered in my mind the other day. I was reading about, I think Britney Spears had her medical records released, and that's
were you in charge of Britney Spears?
Triggered this in
records?
My mind.
Fortunately, we were not.
When she had her sold-out concert here, but it, you know, definitely this Enterprise of Technology report that came out in February outlines those issues, and you know, and we've had some security lapses in other agencies, and you know, it's a concern we have. And again, I'm not certain that this is the proper place to get the money, but I do think that we do, you know, that's too much of a cut, I think, on it. And
yep, I agree with the Representative.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask for a roll call on the amendment.
And on my oral amendment coming, I haven't offered it yet.
You haven't offered it yet. I'm just offering it on my amendment, but I can withdraw it later.
Roll call on the Magnus amendment has been requested. How's staff doing over there? You knew I'd put you to work eventually at the end of the table there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just another point. Is your intention then to not cut AURI at all to fund any of these?
Well, we may be cutting AURI. We've already got two that I set aside we got to find money for. But on this one, it's a small amount. And I know we have over $1 million a year sitting in the GI Bill that we left doubled what was utilized the last 2 years in that. So I'm happy to take, you know, $200,000 of that is what you're asking for. And that still leaves us roughly double. They used $900,000 one year, I think, and $800,000 the other year. We probably are still double what we need in that account, Representative Magnus.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've got some amendments for dealing with the GI Bill and expansion, and from discussions that we had last week with our troops, with the governor and Senator Rickman and others, and the governor's staff late last night talking about some amendments. So I hate to assume my amendment later on is going to fail, Mr. Chairman.
No, it might not. We might have to adjust that.
So I don't know how we're going to take that if I'm spending some of the money later on. So just a point.
All right. I'd like to move an oral amendment. Mr. Cleary?
Mr. Chairman and members, I believe this will do it. Representative Junkie moves to amend the A11 amendment by deleting lines 1.3 and 1.4. And inserting the following language. On page 56, line 14, delete $2 million and insert $1,800,000.
Okay.
Can I read that again?
I got it.
Okay.
Basically, what we're doing is taking it out of the excess bottom line money that we have. And again, Representative Magnus, I know you have a bill to about double it. I think you can probably still do your bill. With this, there's that much excess laying there right now. So I think it is important for security, and I think that's a priority. And we're prioritizing within the veterans budget now without taking ag dollars, but, you know, it's up to the committee. That would be my oral amendment. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Amendment fails. So the Magnus Amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw the amendment. I'm not going to fuss around with the GI Bill monies, and I've got a bill amendment up later on. I don't believe that's the place to take it. So I'll withdraw the amendment, the A11 amendment.
Okay. Members, I will reoffer the A11 amendment as amended. Well, it's my amendment. I think it is important. I was just pointing out we had a big discussion on security. I think that's critical in medical records and other things. I think we need to get that done. And so I will reoffer the A11 amendment as amended, which takes line 56, deletes 1314, and adds the delete 2 million on line 56, line 15, delete 2 million, and reinsert 1.8. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does the department have any input on that one way or the other?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hamilton, of course we would rather not see the money taken from the GI Bill in hopes that the amendment that Representative Magnus introduces later will be accepted, hoping that there would be enough funding in that program to support those additional uses of it. But if that's where it has to come, you know, I mean, security is an extremely important thing right now. If there is no other alternative, you know, we'll have to live with that. We need to safeguard our veterans' private data. Hopefully, there is enough money in the GI Bill to maintain Representative Magnus's amendment later. That's going to expand the usage of the GI Bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Well, here's the difficult position that we're in. There's $17 million less dollars from the governor's recommendation to what we're working with here. And so, of course, we don't want to take it from some of the other ag budgets because that's such a small portion of the overall budget, but we're playing with the cards that are dealt. And so we go back to what was discussed back in 2003 and pull up some of the testimony, and unfortunately we're picking on AURI. It seems as if we're picking on AURI, but right now we're faced on whether or not we're going to prioritize our veterans and the needs of our veterans over anything else. And so it's extremely disappointing when we're sitting here having to make these decisions when we're playing with the cards that are dealt, I guess.
So, President Hamilton, I totally agree with you. I know the committee has a very difficult job ahead of them with the targets that you were given. You know, there's still dramatic needs that we have in Veterans Affairs. We're playing catch-up for many years. We were very underfunded. We're still playing catch-up. All of these things that we're asking are vital. You know, these aren't nice things to do. These are very important things that we need to do. These are, you know, the critical things that we need to provide and want to provide for our veterans. They deserve these things. As I said earlier, I would much rather see the money come from somewhere else than taken from another veteran program. That's our desire. Fortunately, we don't control that. But that would be my recommendation, that we find the money elsewhere and not take it from one veteran program to support another veteran program.
Okay. Well, like I say, we've got more than double the money that's going to be utilized in there at this point, and I think it's a very good place to take it at this point in time. 8 through the A11 amendment. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Amendment's adopted. Okay. You guys got another one, or you want me to pick? How about, we got an A32. I'll go
into the A32.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move the A32 amendment. And
Hamilton moves the A32 amendment for the committee for discussion.
And again, I'd like to discuss this. We didn't hear this one in committee, and it does have a fiscal note, and I don't know if everybody has that fiscal note now.
Okay.
So, and I was,
Representative Hamilton, before you go any further, I support your amendment. This was a Berglund amendment, okay. So I could care less. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. That was easy.
Perfect.
All right. What else you got?
That's all mine.
Berglund, you have any more money in here? We'll take it from her instead of you. All right.
Can we get a Berglund budget? All right. How about...
It's at A12.
A12? A12 amendment represents Torkelson, moves the A12. Got it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is pretty much a technical amendment, but if you'd like to hear testimony on it, I believe that Megan Fitzgibbon is here to give us more information. It basically, what's happening is that Veterans Affairs has been using the Office of Higher Education to do some of their administering a GI Bill program costs. And
yeah, bring her down. Where is she? There she comes.
And they would just like to continue to utilize those services instead of hiring staff of their own to do that.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Here's a specific question I have. No doubt there's need for administrative money. That's nowhere else in statute. We've had the GI Bill for a number of years. How was that handled last year, year before? Was there always special rider language put in? Or were you funded through the Office of Higher Education over in Representative Rukavina's committee on those administrative costs?
No, Mr. Chair, it's always been in the rider language.
Okay, so that was an oversight perhaps this year?
I believe so.
All right. Mr. Reinholdt.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. Sullivan is looking that up, but I don't recall that language in last year's, for the, any of the previous years where we funded that. I don't recall that rider language, but we are looking it up, I believe, right now.
Can you tell us a little bit, maybe, what the $100,000 is used for? Again, we always got nice round numbers here. It's always interesting to me. You know, if you're hiring someone for $50,000 and then they have a benefit of $23,000, you know, that'd be $83.50. But we always got $100,000. So, can you give me a little breakdown on that?
Mr. Chair, obviously some of it pays for me to administer the program. It also pays a portion of it for the IT. This year, or starting last year, we established an online application for students and an online access for the schools to provide the information to us so that we could administer and get the funds out to the veterans as soon as possible. And for some publication and printing of materials for the students.
Ms. Keel, you got something?
Yes, Mr.
Chair. Welcome.
Welcome. Mr. Chair and committee members, I do have a copy of the previous session bills, and last year it was rider language that gave them.
Was it at that level, too?
It was $100,000.
All right. I have no problem with the amendment. Anyone else want to talk about the wonderful Thorkelson amendment? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Gee, Mr. Chairman, I think I've got 8:15.
You got anything left yet, Representative Magnet? All right, Representative Magnet, move the 8:13.
Mr. Chairman, as much as I hate to, again, we're trying to find money.
See?
And I know we had testimony from the service groups, and they're here. And Mr. Chairman, I think they know. I've said enough times I'm a lifetime member of the American Legion and past post commander and all this stuff, and I certainly understand the struggles the agents, you know, the service groups go through. But my amendment, Mr. Chairman, would take that $47,000 and increase it for Veterans Service Administration.
So,
Mr. Cox is coming to testify.
There we go. I was wondering when you'd get up and come over and see us. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Cox, and I'm with the American Legion, the legislative chairman. I represent about 170,000 folks from the American Legion, American Legion Auxiliary, and the Sons of the American Legion, and the Junior Auxiliary. And to Representative Magus's amendment, I would like to explain to you how we feel. We also represent the seven veterans service organizations that are involved here. And I represent seven veterans service organizations that receive funding through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. It is our priority that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has sufficient resources to operate properly. As a result, we strongly support the amendment that will reflect the $47,000 increase designated to the veteran service organizations for each year of FY 2010 and 2011 back to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for the administrative purposes. It is our intent that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs maintain its current level of administrative services, so that we are happy to support the transfer of funds to help support this goal.
All right. You speak for the other organizations, too?
Yes, I do.
All right.
And I would also like to, as long as I have the microphone, sir, I've heard a lot of testimony up here today, and it's very disappointing to hear that we're not supporting our veterans in a lot of ways. I would like to just tell you a couple of stories to amplify what Representative Magnus says about our veterans and to explain to you how our veterans are treated out there in our state. In 1 week, we had two examples. where a young man came back from active duty, went to the civilian hospital in this community, said he wasn't feeling good, and that he had a vehicle that had been blown up under him in Fallujah. They gave him a shot, said, go home, you'll feel better tomorrow. He went back home, came back the next morning to the hospital, and he was angry, rightfully so, because he probably had TBI and post-traumatic stress. They told him at that civilian hospital, either leave or we'll call the cops. That's how they're treating our veterans. Immediately they called a veteran service officer. He came down, and the young man said, I will not go to another civilian hospital. I will not go. I will go to the veterans hospital. 3 hours away. They drove him down there, his wife, a young baby, and the veteran service officer. He got to the hospital, the veteran service, the veteran's hospital. The doctor looked at him. He said, you're lucky. Another hour, you would have been a dead man. They looked at him. He had a hole about that huge in his stomach. His stomach was full of fluid around his heart. They did the surgery. He's doing well today. He's got a job that he'll be able to go to work at. He's working part-time now. But if this is the way that our civilian hospitals and our people out there are going to treat our soldiers, then I think we had a need to take a look at what Representative Hamilton and what Representative Magnus are telling us and pay attention to our veterans. We've got a lot of veterans coming back, to include your son, Sharon. And I'm sure they're all going to be having some PTSD and TBI. I served 41 years, and I know what a veteran is. And I hear this testimony, and it scares me that we're not doing the things we should do for our veterans. If you want to take a look at what our veterans look like, go out to the post-traumatic stress, the polytrauma ward at the VA hospital. Young men and women out there that are 18, 19, 20 years old, no arms, no legs, in that hospital. You come out of there without tears in your eyes, there's something wrong. And this concludes my testimony, and I thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you for the testimony. And again, I will add, if anyone in this room thinks there's $1 being cut from veteran services, I want to hear about it. Because at this point in time, we have bent over backwards not only not to cut any veteran services. The only thing we've cut is bottom line money that's laying there that has not been authorized for use for anything. And if that's the difference, I'm the first to come and talk to anyone about taking money from other budgets, because veterans is our priority. And you're exactly right on the PTSD and the TBI. Exactly right. And I am concerned about my son and about thousands of other veterans returning to this place, and that's why in this bill there's a specialty treatment unit for veterans, both aged veterans with PTSD as well as returning vets with TBI and PTSD and dual diagnostic and other needs. You're exactly right. They are not getting treated, and we've messed around with this long enough. I agree. If we'd have had this done last year in the bonding bill, we'd have federal stimulus dollars today build that hospital. But we didn't do that. Instead, we're replacing a building on Minneapolis, which is very important, too. But now we're going to wait another year or two for the mental health care piece of it. So I agree with your testimony 100%, and I look forward to working with the veterans and others in this room. And I will not, at any time, way, shape, or form, conclude that Democrats or Republicans are more veterans favorable than anyone else in this place. We all have respect for our veterans. They're a priority of this division. They're a priority of the legislature, a priority of the governor. The fact is we have $8.1 million less to spend than the governor, and we've got to get a bill to committee. fact is we do have excess funds in this budget that have not been earmarked for anything at this point in time. And if the rhetoric's going to be that that money is somehow being taken away from Veteran Services, I encourage the Veterans Affairs Department to come with me, Mr. Reinholtz. I'll go get Bill Marks. I'll get everyone. We will look at your budget from the top dollar to the bottom dollar over the next 2 days or to the next week. And if you can tell me that there is an extra money laying there right now that hasn't been utilized, whether it's a GI Bill or anywhere else, then we're happy to work on that. And we will prioritize across the Department of Agriculture, across AURI, across Board of Animal Health, across their administrations, across the ethanol producers. We will do that. We will make veterans first. But at this point, no one has come and told this committee in the last 3 months that there's anything but bottom line dollars laying there. So my commitment is to work with you. We will make it a priority. There will not be $1 cut in veteran services, whether it's state soldiers assistance grants or grants to CVSOs or anyone else. So, you know, as chair here, I think it's my responsibility to point out that we do support this in this committee. Representative Magnus and Hamilton, you are singled out. I thank you for your efforts on behalf of veterans. But anyone to think that the chair or anyone else sitting around this table has anything but the highest regard and is trying to do the best possible job we can for veterans in this state, including my son, then I will take exception. I will visit with anyone as long as it takes to dispel that rumor.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Nobody is questioning your stance on veterans. Nobody. You've been a champion. Like I said, your son is out there doing this. This has everything to do with the budget that was handed down to us.
That's right.
Everything.
That's right.
That's where the priorities lie with the leadership that handed down the budget. The comment that I made earlier about the governor's proposal to fund our department has an additional $17 million in it. Mr. Chairman, when you say people haven't talked to you about this, and yet we had it in our budget bill, our budget book, and it talks about the need, and that was the gist of the A9 amendment.
What was the A9?
That was the part about the pharmaceuticals and the food to help out with the veterans' homes, the one that was tabled over there.
And we've committed to doing that.
Nobody is questioning anybody around the table. You have individuals that serve our country, and we thank you for that, sitting on this committee. We have Vietnam War vets. We have others. Nobody is questioning that. It's questioning the targets that were handed down to us. And when we start throwing words around like rhetoric or anything like that, it is totally disconnected from the point here. Totally. You have been a champion of veterans. You have been a champion of agriculture. When you take a look at 2003, you take a look at some of the things, the decisions that were made in 2003, and you go back and you review the testimony that was handed out back then. We don't want to repeat the same mistake we made in 2003. You led that charge. You were a champion of that. And when it comes to the ethanol payment, you led that charge to where the governor said, we don't want to touch it this time. We've had that fight. And now we're looking at deficiency payments and deficiency payments on top of deficiency payments. This is not a personal attack on anybody on this committee. It's not a personal attack at all. This is about making priorities for the state of Minnesota. Look at the individuals up there, for God's sakes. The testimony that we just had, that says it all. They're willing to forego their dollars to help out the fallen brothers and sisters. It says it all.
Well, thank you, Representative Hamilton. Again, you're echoing what I just said. And we are going to make priorities in this committee, and I have agreed to come back with both these amendments and find the resources. And we'll do that. And we will prioritize. But again, to pit one group, AURI, that's your priority. I get that. You want to cut AURI. I get that. Okay, the governor cut it in half. I get that as a priority. But I don't know if it's necessarily our priority, and I want to talk about it more. Maybe we'll come back and do exactly what you put forth. And I have no problem with that. But I guess I want some time to talk about it and discuss it and see, along with our fiscal staff, where we have some money that we might be able to utilize on some of this. Because we all have a difficult budget. You're right. I didn't choose this budget. But I am the fiscal chair, and I have the responsibility to pass the bill out of here. And so, you know, I understand if you don't want to support the bill moving forward because of the targets. I get that. That's fine. But the job of the majority is going to have to be to get a bill out of here to conference committee. That's our job. And then we'll have further discussions with the governor. We'll have new targets at the conference committee. I hope they're improved. Well, I'll tell you something else. The governor also knows that bottom line money. You don't think for a minute that they don't understand that there's an extra at least $8, maybe $9, maybe $10 million on the bottom line that they would probably utilize in negotiations at the end of the day. Then you're not in tune with their fiscal staff very well, because Mr. Hansen and the staff over there are very sharp. And so, you know, to politically somehow say, and not you, but the governor, that he's not cutting veterans by leaving all that bottom line money, he certainly knows that that money is there. And so, just like last year, the bill we passed out, we utilized those dollars, and we all supported that. It was no different than what we're doing this year. Thank God we had that. I don't know what we would have done without that bottom line money. We probably would have been more like the Senate, where they probably have to reduce about half their ethanol payments over there. So that's where we're sitting. We have the amendment before us, the A13, which I'm happy to support. Anyone wants to come before us and decrease their budgets, I have no problem with that, and I applaud them for it. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure that I understand where this $47,000 is now going, and I assume that that's on an annual basis, not a biannual basis. Is that right?
Representative Magnus says for administration, is there an earmark for that anywhere?
No.
So it just goes into their general fund budget,
the administrative budget.
When did we
cut that out, Mr. Chairman? We cut $400,000 out of that budget.
I'll point that out to you on our information here on line 257, page 5. There's a $400,000 cut per year to the Veterans Service Administration, Mr. Chairman. I'm only adding $47,000 back to it. So.
Okay, Representative Powell?
I guess my question is wouldn't that be money be better to go into the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, where we heard testimony that, you know, they're going to be struggling with that the way it is, and would we be better off to take that money and put it straight into that program?
You want to respond?
Well,
you're cool.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I'd have to ask the department what they, you know, they have to prioritize that. I don't know that.
Maybe the department can come up again, one of our deputies or legislative liaison. Put it in administration or put it in assistance council for veterans. Where would it be better used?
Chair members. Great question. Difficult question. We don't want to be pitted against another veteran organization. These are all very important programs and services. There's an amendment on the table to provide MACV an additional $350,000. We fully support that. We've supported MACV for years. We go back far as partners. It's a very important program. Everything we're asking for here is extremely important. I am not comfortable answering that question saying yes, we think that it would be better served going into the admin of the department, which we certainly need the money, but you know, you're pitting us against a program that provides very needed service to very needy veterans. You know, look at the priority. That's a very difficult decision to make. We support them. I'll support whatever decision this committee makes with regard to that.
We don't have the decision-making ability here. If we did, we might do things differently. But that's a very difficult one to answer right on the spot, to say, yes, we think it would be better for going to McAfee as opposed to staying in the department. We have a lot of very important programs that we need to administer as well. So it's hard to gauge what that impact would be right off the top of my head and say, yes, it should go to McAfee. Whatever this committee decides, we'll live with and we'll support.
Representative Powell.
Well, I appreciate that, and I know it's a tough decision, and that's, you know, unfortunately, that's the tough decisions that Representative Hamilton's been talking about that we have to make here. And I guess if we have to vote on this before we break for session, that's fine. I won't offer the amendment. But if we do, I'd at least talk to some people about possibly offering that amendment, because, I mean, if we look at it from a standpoint of, do we want to help homeless veterans or do we want to support administration, I mean, that's, you know, to me, that's a pretty easy vote. I mean, I understand that you need the money too, but you know, I guess I'm much more in favor of helping the homeless veterans. But at the same time, the money going to the administration, I guess we could argue helps the veterans as well. So, but I guess I'll leave it at that. And if we break before we vote on this, I'll take a look at that.
Any further discussion? All right,
Mr. Chairman, it's just a technical item. If the intent is to increase the administration to the Vet Services program, it would be more accurate in this amendment to just eliminate the line 1.4 and 1.5. And what that would do is that dollars would just drop to the Vet Admin. This language could be confusing because we have a cut on elsewhere on the spreadsheet that just drops to the bottom line, and what would be more accurate is to just let that $47,000 drop to their bottom line, and then it wouldn't be as confusing.
Okay. Representative Magnus, want to delete 1.4 and 5, and then it goes into the administration?
Mr. Chairman, I'll incorporate that in my amendment.
All right. I support the Magnus Amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed. Amendment's adopted. Is there any quick ones? Here. Representative Szymanski, help us out.
The 831 amendment.
Okay. By the way, there's pictures of feral pigs in here. Representative Falk, on your table if you haven't seen them. Did you see them? Have you seen them?
First, right there.
All right. Here, pass that over to Falk. From his district, he didn't know they had feral pigs laying around on the roadkill. All right. Representative Szymanski offers the 831.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, on this amendment to restore some funding for interagency cooperation, and since we're talking about veterans items, I thought we'd go to page 65 first and simply restore, or by deleting section 17 there on page 65 and also section 89 on page
52.
This would simply maintain the relationship between the governor's office and the agency.
Page 52. All right, this would be Representative Szymanski, this would be taking $33,000 out of the veterans budget and sending it to the governor's staff, as well as $3,000 out of the ag budget, $10,000 out of the ag budget, and sending it to the governor's staff. Questions? Representative Fowler.
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move a roll call on this.
Roll call's been requested. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Reynolds.
There were, on the spreadsheet, you recall, there were dollars booked for those savings. Eliminating this language would eliminate those savings, so you're increasing spending on the bottom line. That's not being accounted for in this amendment.
And we still have some bottom line dollars, but they're rapidly disappearing.
Bottom line.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will take the roll.
Junkie?
No.
Anderson?
Yeah.
Brown?
No.
Doty?
No.
Eakin?
No.
Falk?
No.
Faust?
No.
Hamilton?
No.
Hosh?
No.
Magnus?
No.
Otremba? Szymanski?
Yes.
Torkelson?
No.
Welty?
No.
Otremba changes from I to name. Representative Szymanski.
Change from I to no.
Representative Szymanski changes from I to no. Representative Anderson.
Guess what I'm going to say, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Anderson.
I'm going to change mine as well, please.
Changes from I to nay. Good priority, members. Zero ayes, 14 nays. The money stays in Veterans Affairs and does not go to the governor's office. Other amendments. We got about 10 minutes and we can speak to the floor. Otherwise, what do we got left here? Hamilton. Let's do yours on the, Representative Hamilton on my, on the chair's marvelous bill of Humane Society.
What number was that?
820. 820. 820 is off of Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the 820 amendment, and I wanted to bring this up for further discussion. You brought that up yesterday.
Yep.
And reading through it, I don't believe we heard testimony on the reason why that was initially put in place, Mr.
Right.
Chair. And I was wondering if we could get testimony on that. There should have been, or there probably was, a reason to do that initially.
Right. And members, again, what this is Humane Societies, which really no committee oversees. It's kind of an orphan bill. I got moved from committee to committee to committee. Since said animals, I put it in here. Maybe we'll be in charge of the dog bills and kitty bills are all moving this way, so maybe that's our deal now. But basically what this does, as you read on page 51, the language that's being deleted had capped the amount that a county or city or others can spend, or Humane Society districts actually can spend, or special taxing districts can spend on Humane Societies to $4,800 a year. We've got a Humane Society building being built in Candy Eye County. In fact, they're under construction. If this doesn't pass, the project fails and cannot be built. What this does then is allow them to, number one, donate the land, which was city land, but it's worth a lot more than $4,800. And by the way, we're co-opting this with Representative Ertl's Meeker County. And then they also want to, the county and or city, want to participate by giving, I believe, $250,000 towards the construction cost, which they then also will utilize for their dog catcher and their other, they utilize the Humane Society building, obviously, for their city ordinances to do with pets. And so they're more than happy to do that. But with this language, they cannot give more than $4,800 in aggregate. I have asked around upstairs to others. No one knows why. I sent it down to the tax committee. No one knows why. It went to Representative Plowski's local government committee. They sent it out. They had no idea why. So they had no interest in it. Taxes are moving it out. It landed here.
No.
Research couldn't tell me. I mean, it's one of those things that's there that we ran into it simply because we're building a building, and I don't know if it was our city or county attorney or whoever had noticed that language and said it's problematic. So if anyone can tell me why the $4,800 is in there, and if it's a good reason, I'm happy to listen. But I've struggled too because I can't find anyone. It went to local government. It went to Pelosi's committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was looking at staff, and they're saying no clue. All right. Mr. Chair, I withdraw my amendment.
All right. All right, members, let's, I don't know if we got anything else short. Let's, we'll adjourn to the call of the chair. And tentatively in 500 South, posted at 400 North, but it'll be 500 South, I believe, right? Which is a bigger room. And call the chair means that the chair is going to work with fiscal staff on two of the amendments that were before us.
and come back with some suggestions. I'm happy to work with anyone else that wants to meet with me after session in my office. I got lots of room. So I will be there, members, if you want to meet with me. Otherwise, I'll work with fiscal staff and see if we can find some money for the two table projects so far. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we're in recess to the call of the chair.
All right. We will reconvene the committee. And the first thing is Representative Hosh will remove the A9 amendment from the table. That's the one we tabled earlier on MACD, not on food and pharmaceuticals. Is there any discussion removing that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed. Amendment before us. Now, I will move the A38 amendment that you were just handed out. And this will be amended. I'll incorporate that. It's a delete all to the A9 amendment. So I want it to read. So I'm amending the A9 amendment that's before us with the A38. So it's an amendment to the amendment. Mr. Chair. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Where's the money coming from?
I will explain the amendment here. It's actually two pieces. There's a front and back. Yeah. So basically, the money comes from a number of places. The MACV money was taken from. The amendments we did this morning, we have about $1.6 million still, what we believe to be additional funding left in the GI Bill. So we're going to take $350 or $700 million from there, $700,000 from there, which leaves a balance of $450,000 surplus in the GI Bill per year after that. And then on the, we asked for $1.2 million, which is a little more. It was $1.185. I rounded it up. We'll give the department $1.2 million for the veterans' homes. As you can see that on the back, $600,000 a year for their increases in food and pharmaceuticals, as explained by them, that were above and beyond the salary supplements. That money will be parceled in three areas, $1 million at biennium from the ethanol producer account, $500 a year. Again, one time, doesn't affect the base into the future, but addresses us for this year. Then we go to the governor's recommendations on Board of Animal Health and pick up another 80 or whatever it is, 82, I'm just rounding here. And then the balance, whatever's left there, 40 or whatever comes out of per year is AURI.
Yes, this is a technical question. If this is amended, is that amendment still offered by Hamilton? Withdraw my amendment.
Okay. All right. The A9 amendment is withdrawn. I'll offer the A38 as a junkie amendment, clean and simple. How about that? All right. That's the amendment. We're addressing both the MACD and the shortage in drugs and food accounts over in the veterans' homes. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, the total cuts then to ethanol are how much?
$3 million a year out of the 15, or $6 million. $6 million total out of $30 million in the biennium. And again, as statute says, that doesn't affect anyone who's getting a full producer payment. They still get that check. What it affects is the checks will be reduced proportionately on the deficiency payments. And they'll be extended out whatever time it takes to make full payments. So no one loses dollars, you just have to wait a little longer for them. And if you are getting full payments, which you have a couple plants that are, your dollars are not cut. Any other discussion? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has happened before to ethanol, and it just seems like it's the low-hanging fruit, and whenever we need money someplace, we take it out of ethanol payments. I'm not in favor of that cut.
Okay? None of us are in favor of any cuts, but we're doing what we got to do. Represent Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in the language on line 1.11, 1.12, additional $700,000 cuts to the GI Bill, again, leaves about $450 a year above what we think we need. It might be a little more than that, but we don't know the exact figures. That's the meeting. So, Mr. Chairman, it would leave about $1.4 million per year. It leaves $450,000 per year for a total of $900,000 the biennium in surplus from the GI fund. Right? But that's what's left over. After the subtractions we did this morning, we were down to about, we had about $2 million, $1 million a year. That we were over what we had, and it was probably more than that, but that's what we estimated for rounding purposes. We took $400,000 out this morning to pay for the computer and technology upgrades we needed, which left $1.6 million biannually, and now we're going to take another $700,000 for MACV, which will leave $900,000 roughly, and I suspect it's a little more representative because I'm rounding down all the time, but it could be $1 million, but roughly $900,000 for the biennium is still left in surplus dollars for the GI Bill, as we estimate. And Mr. Chairman, is that dispersed on a calendar year or fiscal year, or how do those funds?
The funds, Representative Magnus, we understand the funds are appropriated annually, and the amounts set forth here basically half and half, what we're talking about. And then, as applications come in, they're expended up to the point that the money is gone. And like I say, it was $6 million, and we quickly realized that once the federal government brought their money for it, and the Pell Grants and the GI Bill increases, in fact, Pell Grants went up again this year, so we might even see the last year this year than we did last. But it's expanded in each year based on the applications they get up till the dollars are utilized or not. So it's an annual appropriation. It's not one time up front. We could make it that way, I guess. If there's a reason for that, we'd have to talk to them. But, you know, we could make a one time extended until, I suppose we could. Now we got Brian Holtz and others for a shaking. But you could do a one time available till extended, too. It would be another way to approach it. All right. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just a little more explanation about the ethanol payments and how it affects our base budget for agriculture. I was under the impression that there was if we reduce those, we lost base. Is that
if we do it to balance our tails, which is being done with the $2.5 million, that will affect our base. The original delete everything amendment. If you do it as one-time money in the biennium, which is what we're doing here, we're going to pay for the department's for the next 2 years for their estimated costs of food and pharmaceuticals. 2 years from now, though, we don't know what that estimated cost is from the department. We'll ask them at that time. So what we can do now is backfill with ethanol money one time, which only reduces it one time and does not reduce the base of the ethanol into the future, the next biennium and beyond. So with this particular one, that's how that works.
But if you have the reductions that were made earlier, do reduce the base, and how much was that?
The original base was reduced $2.5 million a year. But again, what it does is spread it out until it's extended. So it'll add years to the payments, is what it will be.
But we are losing some base.
As because we're filling base items with it. So, yeah. But we're just moving it from one base account to the other. It's not being used for one time, but it's being used to fund base items. So yes, on the five. No. Unless we add more into the base. I mean, frankly, what happens is, and we've all been, well, not you, but a lot of us have been here, in years where we have projections that show surpluses and surpluses moving forward, then we'll get a target that's additional. And at that time, we decide to add to the base. So in 2 years, if we have additional funds, you know, by taking care of our tails this year and everything else, we hope we do. If we do, then we can make the decision to add money back into those bases. We're into Ag 21, or I thought it was a good acronym, by the way.
the READY account, Rural Economic Development Investment Account. I thought of that the other day. So what we need to establish that is when we finally are going, that monies are going to come off, which will probably be either next year, not next year, but probably the next biennium now. We've established that and captured that into the phase at that time. That's what we want to do.
Okay, thank you. And then just another rookie question about the establishment of this, of our budget amount. Why did we get cut, in your estimation, why did we get cut so severely?
My numbers that the Ways and Means Committee came up with, basically in consultation with us and others, I guess, as of Somer said, he attempted to meet with everyone. I assume he called you guys, and I don't know how many showed up to the meeting. I'll be honest with you, in ours, I think we had two members, so we had one. But, you know, he asked for input on what priorities were and for the different committees and others. But then he talked to members on both sides of that, probably everyone that he could round up, and they gave him similar priorities, or not similar, but whatever they were. From that, he surmised that we should take a 6% and 7% cut, 6% the first year, 7% the second, in our budget. And again, the budget is the entire budget, so it's not just veterans. It's Veterans A, AURI, Florida Animal Health, Horticulture Society, whatever else we got laying out there. It's all those accounts. And only the people who got cut more were environment and state government operations. That's larger hits than our people. Then the upper committees that got cut less, it was prioritized that all education would be at zero. Higher ed, K-12, and early childhood, and that corrections and health and human services would be the less cuts than the. So that's kind of how it laid out. And it was a decision they made, and we took the number, and here it is. So that's my job then as a fiscal chair, is to make sure those numbers fit within our budget.
Thank you.
Yep, you bet. Anytime. Representative Shemansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the 838 amendments, line 11 and 12, just ask for clarification. Is there some problem in the drafting here on that? Or did it say delete 2 million on line 12? 112 seems like the delete language is repeated. Is that correct? Or is it just something wrong?
We're having our staff looking over.
Mr. Chair, members, if I understand the question correctly, on page 1, lines 11 and 12, the deletion of 2 million and the insertion of 1.65 appears twice because of the appropriation for each year. This is 10 and 11.
Understood. Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 838 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendments adopted. What do we got, Vice Chair? I know what I gotta do. Members, I'm gonna move to reconsider on behalf of Representative Vicki out here. Reconsider the 835 amendment. That was a correction to the waste pesticide language. We thought everyone was agreed to, and now apparently no one's agreed to it. So they're still working on it. We can have an explanation, but I don't really want one if what people want it. I'll reconsider it, and I will withdraw it unless someone wants an explanation before I do that. But first, I need to move to reconsider the 835. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? 835 amendment is before us. Anyone mind if I withdraw it as they continue to work? All right, I'll withdraw the 835. What do you got? Representative Falk, do you have an amendment?
Yeah. Representative Falk. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't move all amendments on page 3, line 3.21. Replace 60 with 100,000, 60,000 with 100,000. Line 3.21, both times.
Okay. Representative Falk moves to amend on line 3.21, both slashes with 50,000
put in 100,000. And to your amendment, Representative Falk.
I was just putting some money back into stimulated grants. Okay. I have under the impression we have some money available for this. So
we do have the way this amendment is done. We have first biennium. We have $88,000 on the bottom line, and as this says, it would basically take 40 and 40, take 80,000 of that, and put it in a sustainable grant program, not their full amount. I think they were at $160,000 a year, which brings them halfway back to where they were, with still some cuts. And would basically leave $8,000 to represent Magnus to use whatever he wants. So, that's where we're at. $80,000 moved from the bottom line, added to sustainable grants. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So. Amendment's adopted. Representative Magnus, do you have an amendment?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, since we robbed all the funds out of there, I think I'll withdraw the 824 amendment. That was the.
You didn't offer that yet, did you?
No. Okay. Anyway, since we
robbed. You're not offering that.
I'm going to withdraw that one since we robbed the. Just to add some more money to the bottom line, I'll offer the 829 amendment.
The Magnus moves the 829. I see it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm attempting to put some funds in for the Ag 21 program. It's something we've talked about quite often. I think it's an important program. What I'm doing is deleting the plant pest surveys on page 3, lines 1 and 2. That's $150,000 a year. You know, the argument we've had is from the meat growers and soybean growers, especially talking about aphids, to do that. Mr. Chairman, when the aphids are raging out there, I need to know basically hour by hour what's going on. And so I'm not certain that, I'm not saying that the program isn't important, but I'm trying to prioritize some things here. And I'm not saying it wouldn't be funded, but it's just that. I think there's some other items here in here we'd like to look at. I'm also taking integrated pest management monies. And Mr. Chairman, you and I talked about that over the weekend, basically. And I understand the, you know, what you're trying to do there. That's on page 4, $77,000 a year. As I've thought through it, the $77,000 a year, I think either we do it or we don't. I'm not sure the $77,000 is enough to mess with. If Representative Falk hadn't stolen that money earlier, I'd have taken that and put him on the button. when we've gotten that part, I just don't see where we can do much of an effect with that. And then on lines 1.5 and 1.6, taking out the turf seed funding, that's basically for, as I understood it, for biofuel, bio research, biomass research, and so on. I certainly do support these sort of things, but I think the place to put it, to look for funding like that, would be in the next-gen board. Or the 21st Century Fund. Basically, when we're taking some of these and putting them into the 21st Century Investment Program to get that off the ground, get it going. And the same thing with line 1.7, deleting the Livestock Investment Grants for $1 million and putting that in into the Next Gen Fund again. The language you'll see here, line 1.11 and 1.12 is priority must be given to livestock programs. And so basically that's what I'm trying to do, Mr. Chairman, at least get something in here in the bill
I don't know what the Senate is doing on their side. You and I have had a continual dialogue about that. I'd like to see us put something in the bill for some new umbrella programs, and this is the attempt to do that. Again, I don't know what the Senate's doing. If they're doing something on Ag 21, fine. If they're not, at least there's something.
Representative Paulus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I have a problem with lines 1.13 to 1.16. The commission may use up to 4.5% of this appropriation for costs incurred. So I would make more amendments to take those lines out from the on.
Representative,
Mr. Chairman, to that point, I believe those will end up being technical amendments per se later on in order to be able to answer.
What was it
on? As far as what Representative Klaus has to renew, I think there's another amendment like that as well.
We have an amendment to the court. We're talking about two amendments now, so you're confusing me. I'm on the 829 amendment. Okay?
You might
have for the all oh, for the administration,
right?
There's a pause. I didn't get your amendment. What's your amendment to the amendment?
My amendment would be, and to make it simpler, I guess we could take just change the 4.5% from 1.14 to 0.
I'm totally confused about what you people are doing. So.
Okay.
I'm usually not confused, but now I have no clue what's going on.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I think I can clarify this. So he's looking at the A29 amendment,
right.
Lines 1.14.
Right.
And he wants to delete the appropriation for administration of the program.
Okay.
My question on that amendment, if it's been offered, is can we have somebody from the Department of Ag testify to whether or not, okay, this is totally different from the other amendment I was looking at, so I have no further questions at this time.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Magnus,
thank you. I think it'd be a good idea for the department to testify.
How much did it cost you to administer livestock investment grants last year? Do you have a dollar amount for us? That's what we need right now. If 4.5% on $1 million or $1.2 million, whatever we got here, $1.4 million, that's what he's asking for. Did it cost you 4.5% to administer those grants last year out of $1 million? Which is $45,000. Yep. That's cheap.
Should be less than all the year, isn't it, right?
All right, so they probably need something, Representative Paulus, to rest the program. I'm not doubting that, but up to the committee. Representative Macon.
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall the number of applications, but they were significant. And so, Mr. Chairman, it takes some time to sort through this.
Wasn't there like 300 in there, right?
Frankly, the main costs that come from it, there's overtime for the staff and mailing costs, because they already said they didn't hire new staff, so.
I amend my amendment to 1%.
Representative Fouts moves to amend the 4.5 on line 1.14 to 1%.
Representative Hamilton. Could you administer this program with 1%? Chairman.
Representative.
To the department, what percent could you?
Yes, sir. Representative
language says up to 4.5%, and Ms. Cheney, in the event that you don't have the funding to do this program, what not to do this program?
Here's my comment. I don't support the Faust Amendment at this time, and I'd ask the department to bring me a detailed breakdown on their cost, line item, whatever it was. You didn't hire someone, so what were the costs back to the administration? And we'll have an idea moving forward. Getting information is always good. Representative Faust. But if the committee wants to vote for the Faust Amendment, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I just have a hard time believing that it costs $45,000 to process 300 applications. I mean, you know, that's just, to me, it seems extremely unreasonable.
For what maybe it wasn't. Again, she's going to bring in, maybe it's 2%, maybe it's 2.5%. They're up to 4.5%, so.
Well, I'll withdraw my application.
All right, thank you.
But I really do have a problem with 4.5%. But I think that's just, to me, it's extremely large for what I think it should cost.
Right. Or Ms. Cheney. Well, you can let us know. All right. I have an amendment to the amendment. I would move to delete lines 1.345 of the amendment, which is the plant pest derbies, IPM, and the turf money. I think that is extremely important. And I've heard loud and clear, I know Representative Magnus, you claim it, and you scout your own field, that's great, but I've heard from wheat growers very clearly, and the soybean growers extremely clearly, that they do utilize this tool, particularly in northern, you're in the southern part of the state where you should get the aphids first. You're maybe looking at Iowa and other places coming in. But as you move north, I've heard that growers really look forward to those surveys so they can understand aphid and rust and other movements that might be migrating from the south. And I've really heard strongly on that, and I guess I'm not willing to take that out. The other thing, as a part of my amendment, I also would delete the 21st Century Agriculture Reinvestment Program and add the words, the READY program, parentheses, reinvent, READY, rural economic development investment fund, READY fund. And again, I'm secure on this. You've seen what's happening with ethanol and other stuff that targets out there. If you name it the Rural Economic Development Investment Fund, READY funds, and well, I think it's got a catchy name unless you use it to something else. We'll find out. And secondly, then, I think it gives us more flexibility with that account, whether it's renewable energy or, livestock investment grants or anything else in the future. It really covers everything. And so I'd ask you to consider that. I know we've had the assignment all session to think of a new name. That's the only one I thought of. Representative Fault First and Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the Energy Committee might have reached you to that. You've already met the Renewable Energy Development Initiative.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll leave it for now. I'm going to think of something, Magnus. I'm not going to leave it in 21. You haven't finished your assignment
yet. I think, Mr. Chairman, you want to include also line 1.6 because that does deal with the turf. You deleted
Oh, that was the second page. Yeah. And line 1.6.
You're right. You need to leave that also in your.
But what I want to do is leave the $1 million.
Yeah. And I certainly.
And I'll support your amendment.
I'll incorporate your amendment. I'm not sure about the name, but you and I will work on it.
All right. We'll come up with something.
No, I love you like a big brother.
All right. Logs and kisses. All right. All right. Representative Magnus incorporates those changes other than the name ready until we can discover if that's already been expanded. Just delete lines 1.3 to 1.6. And we'll
also be changing the number.
And make the other adjustments for the numbers in 1.8 and wherever the numbers change. Staff can do that. Or just that. Make adjustments to the numbers on 1.8. Okay? You can do that. Everyone understand the amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment's adopted. You got anything else? Representative Manus, you got anything else?
I have an 825 amendment, I think, to the chairman on the green book thing.
There's a Magnus moves the 825 amendment.
It's just delete that section.
Deletes page 53, the Karen Clark bill numbers. Any discussion to that? I don't support that at this time. We actually have a farm to field, a farm to school program in Wilmer that's been kind of almost nationally acclaimed. It's through the university extension that helps with that. And we are asking the extension to help with this. It basically will give four grants out for four more of those programs get off the ground. It really does help our local truck farmers and organic growers and others in the area, and apple growers and others who are really trying to get those foods into the school. I think it's a good program, but many can do what they want. I would not support that. But any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No. No.
Amendment is not adopted. Representative Magnus, you got any other?
I have an amendment to pass out.
Okay. Hey, just I'll come get the amendment.
826 amendment.
A little preview here.
And Mr. Chairman, I know we're going to do get these basically these task force and the technical amendments together. And because I am, you know, there is a concern about, as Representative Hamill and I were studying late last night, to, you know, I think it's wise that we figure out these task force and these groups and kind of stagger the reporting period. I you know, if we're asking the department to do that, I don't want to have them all come do it once and sit there. So that's part of this. And again, Mr. Chairman, I think that's a great idea for you and the staff to sit there with the department, figure out how to do those and pick the dates on there. But this basically adds the 4.5% administration and
maturity test. Yeah, so we have to do that. That was in the last amendment.
No, that was in no, this is just specific for that, for this amendment.
To this section?
I thought so.
Page 34.
Okay.
That's for the livestock investment. So you probably want to delete 1, 3, and 4.
Well, I'm just going to withdraw the amendment. All right. I think Mr.
And we can work well. Representative Magnus said we're going to prepare, hopefully with the department and consulting with us this time, an amendment into the finance committee and all the technical stuff. Move the dates around. Yeah. I have no problem with that. So we will take note of that and happy to put that some of that in if it works into the correction amendment. We have another.
I don't.
This is for Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. My amendment to the 821 amendment. It's a three-pager.
Three-pager.
It had to do with the mediation, the automatic kick-in for any notification.
Okay. Representative Anderson offers the 821 amendment. To your amendment, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
it seems that the $5,000 trigger has triggered a lot of comment and talk, and it would seem that if this number was put in legislation back in the 80s, it certainly is created by inflation. I had suggested raising that to $15,000. The lending people wanted to raise it to $50,000. And as a compromise, I would offer an amendment here to raise that to $25,000. That automatic trigger on the mediation notice.
Okay? Discussion for the amendment. I guess my discussion would be at this time, I've talked to the banks and in particular Farm Credit Services, and I think you have too, Representative Anderson, I'm not sure, but basically they tell me that what they would support, and actually I wish I had the language here and I don't, but I'm going to tell you they're going to try and get me language before finance or ways and means or at least by the floor, that and I suspect it will come sooner, that will ask the University of Minnesota to, I want to perk them up, they're sitting in the room, to gather some of the information we're missing. Now, right now, the university, and I'm not blaming them, basically, when they collect a notice of mediation, it's just that notice, and there's no dollar amount put to it. So what we're going to do is draft some language that will require the people filing for mediation to put some of that information in their filing request with the University of Minnesota, and they will have that information over the next year. And as you know, I've committed to doing an entire hearing or two on this in the next year, either in the interim or early next session, and bring all the bankers in and all the implement dealers, everyone who's affected by it. And then hopefully by then we'll have some, again, information being a good thing. We think we'll have at least some information and can make a better rational decision as a committee on that. So at this point, I'd oppose your amendment, Representative Anderson, but I concur with you that I suspect some changes are necessary. I'm just shooting in the dark with you right now, though, and that's my problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and with an assurance that that's going to happen in the interim, I would withdraw my
amendment. And Representative Anderson, if I do not put that additional information language on by the time it gets to the floor, you can sure offer this again.
I will withdraw my
will anyway. I don't know.
All right, Kevin, do we know where the Senate is?
The Senate is at 10.
They're at 10.
They went to 10. So we're at 5, and frankly, the bank told me if you're going to go to 10, don't do it. That was the message for Farm Credit. Just don't do it and wait. Because what they're fearful of is once you move it, and I'll give you their prayer, their political reality is that if you move it to 10, we won't move it for another 30 years again because people have been willing to just change it. Why should we go to 20 or 15 or 30? So they're worried if we move it incrementally, they think we're better off to wait at 5 from their aspect, get the information, have the hearings next year, and then decide. So that's my understanding. Okay, anyone else have an amendment? Representative Shemansky.
Mr. Chairman, I move the A-19 amendment.
This is another one of the governor's sections.
All right, I'll just check it.
And,
I'm going to find it, so hang on.
A-48.
All right.
A-4.
Okay. Let's talk to, give me a pile of technical notes that we have. Mr. A-4.
This amendment addresses the Feeding Minnesota Task Force, and it simply says that we delete the administrative support.
Okay. I'll move that on behalf of Shemansky. Or Shemansky, what is it? What's the number?
819.
819. It's kind of technical, but we'll, I think it's a... We'll do it. I move the A-19, or Schmantz moves the A-19 amendment. That's a correction. They should not be compensated. I would agree upon that issue. So I don't run out with that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. A-19 is adopted.
Thank you.
The other technical amendments, these are all those types of things. If you have them, I'd appreciate you not offering them. I'll ask to vote them down here because I think we need to sit down and talk about that from here in finance and do a technical amendment on all those dates and when the reports are due and any other technical type things like that that the department's been bringing forward, I'd like to see them. Is there anything beyond that? Representative Magnus? So
far, is there an amendment? Did you get 8.3 million?
That is classified as technical.
All right.
So we're gonna take care of that the next time. We'll give you full credit for whatever date comes out of this. 15, 23, 27. I don't know. Those are all technical tools, so I don't know what else we got about. Anyone's got anything else? Representative Pulse.
I have an A4 amendment. If this doesn't take $500,000.
Do we have that handed out yet?
If this doesn't take $500,000, the administrative department's administration and puts the money, Department of Agriculture Administration, puts the money into sustainable agriculture grants, which Representative Falk has already increased back up to $100,000. I think this is a good thing. Whenever I get surveys back, one of the things that everybody, you can tell by the surveys what party they belong to, and everybody in both parties says we need to reduce administration. So that's what this is trying to do. So although I like this this bill or this amendment, I'm going to withdraw it. But I do like it.
Well, we like looking at it, and thank you for that. Okay. Anyone want to re-on for
I'm kidding. Any other amendments?
With that, we can get moving, members. We have the DE1 as amended. And by the way, before we move this, I will direct staff to make any technical changes necessary to reflect what the will of the committee was here.
That's boilerplate, members. We do that in every committee when we're doing large bills. So they may have picked up things. They're writing the RO members, et cetera, and they'll make corrections throughout the bill to reflect the changes we made.
Any other discussion to the House File 1122 as amended? Representative Mays.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're all in a tough spot. And, the economy is sick. Federal budget show it, even though they're attempting to have these programs to stabilize the federal budget, and it's internationally wide also, and it's certainly affecting our state. And we're seeing that in our budgets. We're all in a tough spot, there's no question about it. Mr. Chairman, you and I were here in Hole 3 in 2003, Representative Kendall was here. I don't know if he served on the aid committee, but he was here. We went it before. And tough spot to be in, although I think this one's even worse. And it's a battle as we try to prioritize where we're going to spend our funds. And we've visited about it all day here, and certainly the day leading up to this. I think Mr. Chairman and the members on the other side of the aisle, you've done a good job, I think, with the hand you're dealt. No one in the room wants to cut egg, and certainly no one in the room wants to cut veterans either. But that's the hand that's been dealt to you and your side. Fortunately, we're looking at the printout sheet for our side, and the governor's proposal is about $21 million more than that, and that really gets us down to where the point I think we're at today. It's not that we don't respect you folks on the other side, and certainly we respect you, Mr. Chairman. It's just the basic difference in philosophy of the leadership that we're in the position we're in, I don't think I'll be able to support the bill today. I do appreciate the work we've done. We've got a lot of amendments. Again, I think we've improved the bill. And I expect that we'll be doing more, and we'll be visiting on it more, certainly. And Mr. Chairman, you and I have got a good relationship and an open line of communications. And so I appreciate that. We'll continue to look forward to working together as this moves forward, but today I can't support.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Mangus. I do have your cell phone number, so I do use it.
That was that Ewa Seifert that I picked up on the road that day?
Or who was that with Seifert that day?
That was that was Representative Seifert.
Yeah, someone was. Oh, you were there, weren't you?
He was driving. I know.
Okay.
I knew it was.
I'm driving a snowstorm. We're going from Worthington to Marshall for those field hearings we had. I can't hardly see two car lengths ahead of me, and all of a sudden here's this pickup on the side of the road with a Seifert sticker on the back. And of course, being the Democrat I am, I thought, should I just keep driving? Do we really need Magnus and the minority leader at the next meeting? Or do I pull up my cell phone? I actually have the minority leader's phone number also. So I dialed him and said, I just passed you. Do you need a ride? Please come back and get us, and I did. So that just shows how we get along. And we all made it to the meeting about 10 minutes late. Unfortunately, Bickerman had already started it up, and it was kind of a mess.
That was the, it was, you know, it was an interesting day because the folks coming down from the Twin Cities didn't realize just how far it is out in the hinterlands to go to Representative Hamilton's district in Worthington, and got caught in the intermittent four lane on Highway 60 that Hamilton's laid out a sword for to get fixed, but in the four lane, and those folks ran out of gas, so they were about to jump to Worthington. And then, lo and behold, we've got to get rescued by a friend on the other side. And the only reason that he was lagging behind us and got lost is because of Jill, what was her name? Jill gave her the wrong name?
GPS Jill. It's probably a different route. So, anyway, Representative Magnus is right. We're $18 million under the governor's budget. That's just the record. That's what Delta's. You were in charge 5 years ago, and you had to do what you had to do, including at that time cutting ethanol producer payments to 13 cents and from 20 and doing all kinds of stuff that no one liked. But we got it done, and we moved ahead, and the world's still spinning. So what this does, members, it gets the bill out of here, hopefully off the floor next week, maybe even with us, and on the conference committee where there'll be a totally new target given. Based on negotiations with the administration and the Senate and the House. So we'll keep plugging for more money, but I think with the, like you said, the hands we were dealt, this is about I think the best product we've come out with now. Again, I do not believe it cuts any services to anyone. I do not believe it cuts any jobs. I do believe all the cuts are discretionary or can be as the department sees fit. They're giving large amounts of money. However, they seem fit. We have not taken the opportunity to line item a lot of things, which I know a lot of members and folks in the audience are worried about. When they see stuff perhaps in the base budget, but it's not reflected in our language, they get nervous. But I like to give the departments that discretion, too. I think a commissioner needs to manage his department. Division managers need to do their work, and they work with the funds they have available, and we appropriate, and they do the best they can with us, so we're hopeful they can do that.
And Mr. Chairman, I ask for a roll call.
Roll call then request. The clerk will take the roll.
Junkie?
Hi.
Anderson?
No.
Brown?
Hi.
Cody?
Yes.
Deacon?
Yes.
Polk?
Yes.
Klaus?
Yes.
Hamilton?
No.
Posh? Magnus?
No.
Kutremba? Szymanski?
No.
Torkelson?
No.
Welty?
Yes.
Being 8 ayes and 5 nays, 1 absent, the bill is passed as amended. Thank you, members. We're not done yet. We've still got to get the clean water bill out next week. We're still going to have hearings in the next few weeks on all the veterans' bills that are laying there for bonding consideration, and we might have some other singular bills. We only have a deadline for the omnibus bill, so we will have some business in the next couple of weeks, but we'll let you know when those meetings are. They might not be regularly scheduled meetings from here on, but we'll let you know when. With that, meeting's dismissed.